بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you what Rasulullah said about forgiving each other, about covering each other's faults. Nabi sallallahu alaihi said to one sahabi, he said, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said, 70 times each day. 70 times each day. About covering of the faults of people, Rasulullah said, which means that if you cover the faults of your brother in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover your faults on the day of judgment. I remind myself and you that in our relationships, whether it's our domestic relationships with our spouses, our children, parents, or whether it's and relatives, or whether it's our official relationships in our workplaces, whether it's our relationships with our neighbors, our relationships in the countries that we live in, and so on and so forth. These are based on what we choose to see. What we choose to see, not what we look at. Because when we look at, many things. But what do we choose to see? Let me give you a couple of examples. I don't know how many of you have read Sherlock Holmes, but very interesting stories of the great Arthur Conan Doyle's stories about Sherlock Holmes, his fiction character, the great detective. Now, Sherlock Holmes has an assistant whose name is Watson. And in every story, Sherlock Holmes finds the key clue that solves the case. And some of these clues are so well hidden and so, you know, amazingly difficult that you are left literally wondering, how did this man see it? And Holmes answers this. Watson says to Holmes, my God, you saw this clue, you found this clue. And Holmes' statement is a classic one. Holmes says, I saw it because I was looking for it. He says, I saw it because I was looking for it. I remember many years ago, somebody told me the story about Maulana Yusuf Kandlavi Rahmatullah Ali, who was at that time the Amir of the Tablighi Jamaat. He said that there was a sheikh who lived near Delhi. So this sheikh, one day, he called one of his disciples and he said to him, go and spend 1 month with the Tabligh people in Nizamuddin and observe what Maulana Yusuf Kandlavi does on a daily basis and come back and report to me. He said, this man Yusuf Kandlavi has become very popular. He seems to have hundreds and thousands of disciples. So I want to know, what is it that he's doing? Maybe there's some, you know, secret ritual or some wazifa or something. What is it? What is it that makes him so popular? Go and see. So this disciple went and he spent 1 month in Nizamuddin. He stayed in the masjid. He observed Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali on a daily basis, very closely, right up close. He tried to be as close to him as possible so that he could observe and report back to his sheikh. So after 1 month, he returned. And he said to his sheikh, sheikh, there is absolutely nothing that is remarkable about that man. Absolutely nothing. So the sheikh said to him, I didn't ask for your opinion. I asked you to go and observe and come back and report to me. So give me your report. What did you actually see? Describe for me. The man said, well, you know, his day starts around 2, 2.30 in the night. He gets up, makes wudu, prays tahajjud, and then he reads Quran and sits in zikr until time for Fajr. And then he prays Fajr, and after Fajr he gives a talk. And when the talk is finished, then breakfast is ready. So he supervises the breakfast of everyone who is in the masjid in Nizamuddin, which is hundreds of people, maybe a couple of thousand people. So he said he walks up and down between the rows while people are eating, ensuring that everybody is getting the food, that nobody is left out. And only after everyone has finished eating, then he goes to his room and he has his breakfast. And he says, after the breakfast, then people come and he is talking to them. He is doing his work of the Jamaat. He is dictating letters. And then around maybe, and then he has tea. He says, you know, Sheikh, he drinks a lot of tea. So he has tea. And then he, when he's drinking tea, sometimes a couple of drops fall onto his thobe, which is white. So you can sometimes see a couple of tea stains on it. And then he says, you know, he also eats pan, so betel leaf. So sometimes a little drop of the betel leaf juice also falls on his thobe. So you see sometimes a couple of small betel leaf stains. He washes them or has them, but you know, still you can see the stain. Then he does the talim for the day. Reads from the book of Hadith, and by then it is time for Zohar, so he prays Zohar with the Jamaat, and then it is time for lunch, so he does the same thing. He supervises this whole lunch and that ensures that everybody eats and so on and so forth. And after all that, then he gets involved again in work for a while. Then he rests for about maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and then he's up. And after that, it is time for Asr. He prays Asr. After Asr, there is a bayan. After Zohar also, there is a short talk. Then after Asr, there is a talk which he gives. And then the Jamaats go out for Gasht, for Jawla. Then they come back in time for Maghrib. After Maghrib, he gives the main talk for the day, which goes on until Isha, and then he prays Isha. And then after Isha, there is dinner, so he supervises the dinner, makes sure everybody is eating and so on and so forth. And then he retires, but he does not sleep. So then he is reading Quran and Dhikr and so on and so forth. And then only around 11 o'clock or so, or close to midnight, you know, around that time, say about 11 o'clock or something, he sleeps. And then of course he's up again by 2:30. Or so. So he said that he sleeps for maybe about 3 hours, 3.5 hours, 4 hours, never more than 4 hours in the day. This is his routine. But you know, this tea stains and that pan stain on his shirt and so on, it looks very bad. And there's nothing very remarkable about what he is. This Sheikh listens to the whole story. And the Sheikh tells him, he says, you know, there is a garden. Imagine this. He said, there is a garden, a very beautiful garden. It has all kinds of beautiful flowers in it, and you know, the aroma of flowers, the scent of flowers permeates the air. It's full of color. It's full of birds and butterflies and so on. He said, a butterfly goes into this garden. What is it looking for? The man says, it's looking for flowers. He said, right, that's right. He's looking for flowers. He's looking to eat nectar and so on. He said, if a pig goes into this garden, what is the pig looking for? The man said, the pig is looking for some dirt, you know, some whatever, feces or something. He says, exactly. He said, you went there, you spent a month in Nizamuddin, you observed this man from tahajjud till the next day's tahajjud, and you observed him on a daily basis, and you saw that he sleeps for 4 hours. You saw that his entire day is dedicated to the work of Deen. You saw the way he is working day and night, and his khushu and his dhikr and his tilawat of Quran and all of that. And all that you could remark on was the fact that there is a tea stain on his shirt and there is a paan stain on his shirt. So he said, I thought I'll give you this example of this garden, so you understand where you are. Now, I remind myself anew that this may sound a bit harsh, but if you think about this, for many of us, this seems to have become our nature, to look for dirt. Believe me, there is nobody in the world who is perfect. Absolutely nobody. Then nobody is perfect, nobody was perfect. Rasulullah was sinless and he was perfect because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him like that. But even with him, we know that there were people who didn't like some of his things, and some of them were his own people. Now, my point is that I remind myself and you that we have a choice in life. The choice is, given that I'm going to be meeting people and I'm going to be with people and I'm going to work with people who are imperfect, my choice is, what do I want to look at? Do I want to look at the good things in them, or do I want to find fault and nitpick and pick faults in them? Which one? Now, the reason I'm saying that is because on that depends my happiness. It's not about them. It's about me. If I spend my life and time finding fault and picking mistakes of people and picking faults of people, then believe me, I'm going to find plenty. I am going to find plenty. Because people are full of mistakes. Anytime somebody tells me, you know, they tell me, Sheikh, this is what is wrong with you, I tell them, Jazakallah khair, thank you for telling me. Reality is, Allah has hidden what is really wrong with me. And, you know, one thing you saw, so alhamdulillah. But if you really ask me, there is much more. So, it's... and I'm not trying to be facetious or something. This is the reality. So I'm saying that we can do this. We can spend our whole life looking for faults of people and we will find them. But believe me, if we spend our life looking for the good in people, we will also find that. We'll also find good in people. I have, alhamdulillah, tried my best in my whole life to try to find the good in people. So many of my friends, actually, they joke with me because I travel around, alhamdulillah, around the world. And wherever I go, I seem to find a lot of good. And I talk to people about the wonderful people in Nigeria and, you know, when they come to the class, the dedication with which those people work. SubhanAllah, I have yet to see anyone more dedicated than my Nigerian students. I talk about the wonderful hospitality of the people in South Africa, and I don't just mean my, you know, Indian and Muslim brothers and sisters. I'm talking about whichever South African that I've met. I've met everybody. I've met all the colors. I talk about the kindness and the sweetness of the people of Malaysia. The hospitality and the wonderful people of Sri Lanka and the beauty of the place of Sri Lanka, of Australia, of the UK, of America, of course my own country India, Bangladesh, the fabulous hospitality, the beautiful food of Bangladesh, the energy on the streets of Dhaka. People say, well, you know, how come you didn't see the dirt in Dhaka and the poverty in Dhaka? I say, I was too busy seeing the energy in Dhaka of the street vendors and the people in the street and, you know, what they were doing, how they were walking. The closest comparison that I can make of the streets in Dhaka is to Manhattan in New York. The same kind of energy that I see there. So people tell me, you know what, you are blind. You don't see everything. So I said, alhamdulillah, this is my personal choice to be blind. If that is what blindness is, then I am very happy being blind. The reason I'm saying this, my brothers and sisters, is that very often we find people who are focused on the opposite, who are focused on the negative. And they are constantly finding faults with people and picking, nitpicking, and then they elevate this to a level of a virtue. And they will tell you, oh, you know, the only reason I'm saying this is because I am interested in your welfare. I want you to improve. Alhamdulillah, maybe that is even true. Allah knows best, but I have a sneaky suspicion that they do that because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel good because they find something negative in somebody else. If they don't watch that, that is arrogance, right? I can find fault in you. Does it mean you are free from fault? No, it's not. How come the other person doesn't find fault with you? Supposing the other person tries to find fault with you, believe me, he'll find 10 faults for every one that you find in him. But he's not that way. I mean, the other person is not oriented in the same way. He's happy that you found his fault, and he's going to correct his fault while you are going around with the biggest fault, which is looking for negative things in people, and looking for negative things in surrounding, looking for negative things in the environment. My brothers and sisters, I seriously remind myself and you, this is a very, very big problem, especially of Muslims. And this is one of the major reasons why we can't see eye to eye with each other, why we can't agree with each other, why we have our society is so ridden with divisions, because we are too busy finding fault with each other. I remind myself and you, let us get out of this, right? Forget about people's faults. Doesn't matter. Let them deal with their faults. Let somebody else point it out to them. You look for the goodness. You look for the goodness, and believe me, you will find it. And you go and tell that person, this is the beautiful thing about you. Alhamdulillah, Jazakallahu khairan. It will make you feel good, and it will make the other person also feel good. Forget about the faults. Doesn't matter. You are not their mother. You are not their grandmother. It's not your job to find fault with people. So forget about that. Look for goodness of people, because believe me, it is about you. It's not about them. It is not about them. And a lot of us, the fault that we find in somebody, believe me, if that person even dies with that fault, it won't take him to Jahannam. But if you die with arrogance, you can decide where you want to go, because that is what will happen. So let us be very clear. Stop finding faults with people. Look for the goodness in people. Ignore the faults. Cover the faults. If anything they did offended you, harmed you, forgive them. Because remember, Rasulullah ﷺ said, the one who covers the faults of his brother in this life, Allah will cover his faults on the day of judgment. So simply ask yourself this question: do I want Allah to cover my faults? If you want Allah to cover your faults, cover the faults of your brothers and sisters. Jazakallahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.